Subject was
forgiveness.
There are four main points. One of them, forgiveness is a
choice,
command. Two more.
Canceling
a debt. Yes. Well, y'all done good. You listened real good. I appreciate that. And, you know, practicing forgiveness is absolutely, absolutely essential. Now, Brent, talking about that, we got the Couples Advance coming up here this fall. Going to be right here in Roanoke. And if you're married, you need to learn how to forgive. You need to learn how to practice forgiveness. You know, my wife and I, we're having a better time we've ever had, I think. Mainly laughing at ourselves, you know. It's a lot to it, but we ought to be enjoying the ride, you know. So anyhow, Couples Advance coming up in October right over at Villa Heights, which renting their facility, and hope you can make it. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about something a little different, all right? Pastor's out of town, and I want to talk to you tonight about something that nobody's talked to me about here. Nobody's asked me to address this subject, but I've been preaching for over 40 years, and I've witnessed a tremendous need, and I want to talk to you tonight about ministering to the minister, how to minister to the minister. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, it says this. Paul said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift and grace of God given unto me. Ephesians 6, 21. Tychicus, a beloved, a brother and faithful minister. Now, what Paul was talking about was being a servant leader, about being a pastor, a shepherd. It says in Colossians chapter 1, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, Timotheus, our brother and minister of God. Now, the minister here is a servant leader, a leader, a pastor, and a shepherd. Now, we all understand that ministers are called by God to the ministry. They're ordained by God. They're under shepherds. They are pastor teachers. Now, look over in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. A couple of places here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Notice what it says here. It says here that he gave some apostles, some prophets, Ephesians 4:11, some evangelists, and some pastor and teachers, or pastor teachers. Now, why did God give these ordained offices? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the minister's role, including the apostles back in those days, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers today, is to serve and to equip and to lead the saints to do the work of the ministry. You know, I think one of the worst things that ever happened was back about three decades ago. We used to put the heat on people to go into full-time Christian service. You ever heard that? Full-time Christian service. And the idea was that only the elite got called in, and it's up to the rest of us peasants to pay them so they can do the work of the ministry. I have an announcement here tonight. We're all called to full-time ministry. Amen. We're not all called to vocational ministry. We don't all make our living by this, but we are called to the ministry. Every saint is called to serve, and every child of God is gifted by God with spiritual gifts. You have a spiritual gift. We all have spiritual gifts, and we get fulfillment when we exercise those gifts. And it's the minister's job to help us to find out what our ministry ought to be and help us to get on with the program of doing the work of the ministry. Now, while the ministers are equipping us, the question comes, how do we minister to our minister? What is our responsibility in ministering to the minister? Now, this is a day of extremes. I just want to say the pastor is not a potentate, but he's not a plantation slave either. Amen. The pastor is not an object of worship, but he's not an object of disdain either. The pastor is not royalty, but he sure ain't rubbish. And I want to talk to you about how to minister to the minister. Now, number one, I want to talk to you about how to revere the office. If we're going to minister to our ministers, we have to revere the office. Now, look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, one more place. Just flip over there. Hebrews chapter 13. Notice, if you would, there in verse 7. Now, the office of the pastor carries respect. God has an order in the church. The office of the pastor is not a dictatorship, but the church is not a democracy either. Where in the world do we get the idea that we're going to all put in our 2 cents on everything under the... Wherever we came up with that, I don't know. We didn't find that in the Bible. Now, I want to talk to you about how to minister to the minister, because there's supposed to be order in the house. Now look in Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, the oversight, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their behavior. Now look down at verse 17. It says about the same thing. Read it out loud if you would. Hebrews 13, 17, together now. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Now, obey them that have the watch care for your souls. They're looking out for your souls. They're keeping watch over your souls. So what does it say right here? Well, it says to obey and submit. Now, I travel and have been traveling forever and preached in all kinds of churches. All kinds of churches. And I've discovered that more and more people don't want a pastor. All they want is a chaplain. They want somebody to marry them and bury them and otherwise leave them alone. And I want to tell you that this is not New Testament Christianity. Now, God has assigned authority to 3 institutions, if I'm reading it right. There's 3 institutions on planet Earth that God granted authority to: the government, the home, and the church. Now, look, when one institution tries to hijack the authority that God gave to another institution, it weakens itself and the institution that it hijacked. For example, when the government began to usurp the authority that God gave to men and to husbands to provide for, care for their families, raise their children, when the government usurped the authority that God gave to the men of this nation and began to pay women to get pregnant out of wedlock, how many understand that ain't turned out too good? And I want to tell you, when that happened, it weakened the home and it weakened the government. When one institution hijacks the authority God gave to another institution, it weakens itself and the institution that it hijacked. For example, when the church usurps the authority that God gave in the home, it weakens the church and it weakens the home. When the home usurps the authority that God gave the church, it weakens both the church and the home. Now, what are we supposed to be doing here to revere the office? Well, we're to honor them which have the watch care over our souls. We're to submit ourselves to our leaders under the fear of God. Now, let me just reiterate this again. The pastor is not the chief shepherd, but he is the under shepherd. The pastor is not God, but he's ordained by God. And we're to revere the office. Now, listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, against an elder, receive not an accusation. An elder, a pastor, a presbyter, it's all the same thing. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. Now, what does this mean? The minister is not above discipline, but this whole thing here is to eliminate frivolous accusations. And we should not receive an accusation unless there's corroborating evidence to go along with it. Now, I was in Shelbyville, Indiana one time. No, Shelbyville, Illinois one time, preaching this meeting. And in this church, they had a pastor. He had 6 children. And one of the deacons told the pastor he had too many children. Now, I have an announcement tonight. It's not the deacon's business how many children the pastor has. It ain't the pastor's business how many children the deacon has. It ain't nobody's business but their business is anybody with me on this point right here? Well, I was in this troubled church and was very, very young and got into a testimony meeting, which I thought was going to break out into revival, and instead it broke out into railing accusations against the pastor. Good night. They had 6 deacons. 3 were pro-pastor. 3 were anti-pastor. And they just stood up right in the meeting, but in the church on a Friday night, we're supposed to be praising God, and here they are bringing all kinds of charges against the pastor. So after a few minutes, I said, all right, time out. This is out of order, because I don't want to meet all the deacons back in the pastor's office. So we dismissed the meeting, went back in the pastor's office, and there I sat for an hour and a half listening to one barrage, one mortar launch, one attack after another against the pastor. Now, I should have picked up on this, but I'm slow. I'm slow on the uptake. And finally, I caught on, and I says, all right. I looked at the guys that were against the pastor. I said to the first one, I said, do you have a doctrinal charge against this man? Do you have an ethical charge against this man? Do you have a moral charge against this man? No. I went to the second one. Do you have an ethical, doctrinal, or moral charge against this man? No. Went to the third one. Do you have a doctrinal, moral, or ethical charge against this man? No. I said, well, it seems pretty simple to me, fellas. Y'all can either, you ain't got no charge against him along those lines. You can either get in line or there's the door right over yonder. Now, can I just say something to you? The shameful treatment of ministers by congregational-run churches is a disgrace to God in some cases. In some cases. An utter, absolute disgrace to God. Now, I just want to say this, that trying to put this in perspective, if somebody complains to you about the pastor, what you're supposed to do is say, I'll tell you what, lest you and I right now and go and talk to the pastor about it. Oh, no, I don't want to do it. And if they say that, you rebuke them right on the spot and walk away. If they don't have enough character to confront the man face to face, they're the problem. They are the problem. So now, revere the office. Everybody good on that? Number 2, how do you minister? Number 2, you got to respect the man. Respect the man. Revere the office, but respect the man. Now, pastors are people too. Shocker. I'm telling you, pastors are not superhuman and they're not super spiritual. Pastors have feelings, flailings, failings, and flaws, just like you and I, and ministers are human and all humans have needs. We got to respect the man. Now, we got to respect the needs of our ministers. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about peace, privacy, provision, and prayer. How do you respect the man? Well, we got to understand what their needs are. They need peace. I said they need peace. Some of the stuff that people put up with, I just wouldn't do it. I told one guy, a pastor one time, I said, if you put up with this, you deserve it. You ought to clear off a space and draw a line in the sand, man. This ain't about you. This is something else. They need peace. Now listen, pastors deal with difficult situations every week. They deal with difficult people every day. No wonder so many are having breakdowns. No wonder so many pastors' wives are having such a difficulty. You know, I've been doing this a while. My observation is, most guys over 60, they're depressed and broke and have no options. And I'm not kidding here. Most of the wives wish that they could get out of it. Not most of them. Not, I'm just talking about in general terms here. I'm just telling you, this is a sorry state of affairs. Now, pastors' wives need encouragement just like you and I and just like the pastor does. And I ain't fussing to nobody tonight, but I just want to talk to you about telling you they need some peace. Now, what could you do over the next 3 months to encourage your pastor? What could you do to lighten the load? What could you do to encourage the pastor's wife? Now, we can strategize on how to protect, encourage, and minister to the pastor and his wife. Now, look, sheep run into difficulties all the time, and the ministers and their wives have to deal with the sheep. How many know that sheep are messy? How many know we are messy? I mean, don't look any farther than your own heart. I don't have to look any farther than my heart to say, hey, wait a minute, hold here. There's something going on here. And now look, dealing with difficulties is part of the job description, but don't pull out the magnifying glass when you're looking for the faults in other people. Anybody can find the dirt in others. You be the one that looks for the gold. Man, look for something to compliment them about. And you know something? The Bible says if anybody thinks he stands, he better be taking heed lest he fall. Boy, that's the truth. The Bible says judge nothing before the time. What is this talking about? Needless scrutinizing. Needless. How many know that everybody has quirks? Everybody has personality. Yeah. That's just the way it is. And this analyzing and criticizing. I was in a business meeting one time. I don't go to them no more, but I was in one time. And this big mouth birther blasted out and just ripped and roared and carried on. And her husband sat there like a neutered tomcat. And I thought, what kind of a sorry outfit is this? And all the deacons were spayed as well because they just sat there. This is out of line. Nowhere in the Bible did people get up and rebuke the Apostle Paul on the brand of toilet paper or the color of the carpet. Y'all with me on this right here? And then, lo and behold, one of the big givers, he fell out with them on some mission-giving decision, and he ripped and roared and snorted and carried on, and I'm just sitting there thinking, this is out of order. This is not the way it ought to be. Somebody ought to do something about this situation. Listen, pastors need peace. Everybody longs for a nest without thorns. Now look, silent sheep can be a good thing, but sometimes the sheep need to stand up. I just say this. In our country, when we got what's going on right here, it's okay to speak up and speak out, and it's going to cost you something, but we ain't got nothing to lose. And I'm just here to tell you, in the house of God, there's a time to stand up, speak up for the cause of right, and don't mistake cowardice for mercy. Don't mistake cowardice for mercy. I have a friend, he's a pastor, and his one of his children had emotional problems, and he had prostate cancer. So he was down at NIH, National Institutes of Health, getting a prostatectomy. And guess when the people in the church who were disgruntled decided to stage their exit? While he was gone. Yeah. So here they are, vocal, verbally. The pastor is dealing with cancer. He came home off the trip to find his emotionally disturbed son hanging in the attic having committed suicide. And that's when they staged their exit. Now, there was one woman in the church who rebuked him. I just say this. When the women got more testosterone than the guys, there's a real problem here. Y'all, you guys listening to me tonight? Anybody hearing what I'm saying here? I ain't talking about being mean. I ain't talking about being hateful. I ain't talking about being a jerk. I ain't talking about playing the fool. I ain't talking about stirring up Trump. I'm talking about standing up for the man of God when these kind of ungodly things take place, especially at a time like that, for crying out loud. Pastors need peace. Now, all I'm saying is this, that if you get to the point where you can't embrace the doctrine or direction in a local church, then there's a proper way to quietly leave. There's a proper way to do this. If it goes off the rails and you can't follow it anymore, There's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this. Now, honest questions are fine, but that's a whole lot different than accusations. And the Bible says we're to strive to maintain unity in the bond of peace. Pastors need peace. Amen. Number two, pastors need privacy. Say that word, privacy. Say it. Privacy. What does that mean? Well, it means God rested on the seventh day, and ministers need a day of rest also. I've had pastors say, well, I hadn't taken a day off in 40 years. Well, who do you think you're better than God is? He took one out of seven. I was in Bible college, and Sumner Wimp said that he knew a pastor that was boasting. He hadn't had a day off in 45 years. He got sick and spent one day in the hospital for every Sabbath he had neglected for those 45 years. Now, dear people, I believe pastors ought to take a day off. You can cut more wood with a sharp axe. And some pastors or some churches are giving their pastors a sabbatical. You ever heard that word? Sabbatical. What does that mean? An extended time to get away. Now, look, if they've been here for 2 months, they probably don't need a sabbatical. But if they've been there 20 years, it might not be a bad idea to cough it up and to send them on an extended rest, if you will, a sabbatical. So respect the minister's privacy. Now, not everything is an emergency. Not everything needs an answer right now. Amen. And we need to give the man of God and his family some space. Now, the Bible says, the apostle said, it's not fit for us to serve tables, but we will give ourselves to what? Prayer and ministry of the word. In other words, we're going to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, I'm going to throw this out for what it's worth. Got a radical idea right here. The idea that the pastor has to do everything in the church is foreign to the New Testament scriptures. He's to be equipping the people to do the work of the ministry. He's not an employee of the church. He's a servant ordained and called by God. And as that, he doesn't... anything you can do to relieve some of the pressure ought to be done. I'm just telling you, and if a church is going to grow and have more than 100 people, we're going to have to take on a different idea about who ought to be doing what and sharing responsibility and doing the work of the ministry. Good preaching, Brother Harold. All right, privacy. Number three, the pastor needs peace, privacy. Number three, he needs provision. Did you know that pastors have bodies as well as souls? They have physical needs, financial needs. I personally believe it's a sin when a pastor retires if he becomes a ward of the state. I said, I believe that's a sin. I mean, just the things that happen. Now look, the Bible says he that provides not for his own is worse than an infidel. So compensation is just a measure of value. That's what compensation is. It's a measure of value. I mean, you work jobs, you get compensated. Why? Well, it's a measure of what you're worth. It's a measure of value. So the Bible says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Check that out. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not... muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So what are we saying here? Compensate the man of God adequately. Yeah. Takes money to live. How many know that 10% inflation is real? How many got that figured out? And go to the grocery store, you'll figure that out right quick. Go anywhere else. Go to the lumber yard and you'll really figure that out. I'm telling you. It's crazy. Now listen. I know some churches that have paid off their pastor's mortgages. They were able to do it. He'd been there a long time, served well. Yeah, why not? I'm just here to tell you, I know some churches that send their pastor and his wife to the Holy Land. And it's not because they want to get rid of them. They're just trying to be a blessing to them. So they send them there. They do this for them. And when a man's been around a long time and proved himself, I'm just telling you, pastors, ministers need provision. I personally believe that churches should contribute to the retirement fund for the pastor. If he got out of Social Security so the church wouldn't have to pay 7.5%, we ought to be paying him that 7.5% to him directly. That's my opinion. I believe that. I believe that. How many pastors have I met who at the end of the day, when they've given their whole lives, they didn't make hardly nothing their whole life, and at the end of the day, they got nothing, and there's no effort made to help sustain them. Oh, brethren, a minister's need provision. We understand that, don't we? I mean, and if you're an older person, you're thinking back what it was when you was coming up, it ain't nothing like that now. It ain't nothing like that now. I don't know how anybody can make it under. It takes a lot to live, a lot to exist. Automobiles, look at what they cost, for crying out loud. Look at the price of, just look at all of it. They need provision. And the Bible says they're worthy of double honor. All right, everybody good for this? Good with this? They need provision. Number four, ministers need prayer. They need peace. They need provision. What was my second point? Privacy. And then they need prayer. Now, Paul appealed for prayer in his epistles. He said this, whoever wrote Hebrews, said, pray for us, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. He was appealing for prayer. Paul said, striving together with us in prayer. So he was all the time, Paul was all the time asking for prayer that he could speak the word of God with boldness. So why must we pray for our leaders? Because, listen, a minister's faced the same difficulties as you, and his trials are only stronger because he's a target. I'm just telling you, whenever there's blessing, there's a counteroffensive. This year, I think I told you, been privileged to be in 7 revival atmospheres so far this year. Praise God. Amen. It's been absolutely incredible, wonderful, amazing. But did you know what? To go along with that, there comes somebody else that's acting out in seasons of great spiritual refreshment and vitality. It's the devil. He acts up, kind of tries to come to counteract. And comes out, and I'm just telling you, if your pastor's walking with God, and I believe your pastor is, I'm just telling you, there's a target on his back, and the pastor faces the same temptations as we do. He carries not only his own burdens, but the burdens of everybody else. He's responsible for untold details, and he's responsible to give an account for your growth in grace. So the Bible, he said here in Hebrews that we're to minister to the minister, submit to the minister as those that will give an account for our souls. I believe one of the greatest things you can do for your pastor is to encourage him and then to pray for him and to intercede for him, that God would work in his heart. How many know that prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God. Well, that goes for the guy that stands behind the pulpit too. And we got to understand, we're all humans. Somebody said to me the other day, "Well, man, I got all these temptations and I'm facing all these trials." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't because you're so sinful, it's because you're so human." Jesus was a human, wasn't he? Amen. Wasn't he tempted at all points like as we are? Wasn't he led of the devil up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Was he not? Well, of course he was. And I'm just here to tell you that the greatest thing we can do is pray for our pastors. Pray for your pastor's health. Yeah, pray for his health. Pray for his family. I mean, just pour it on. And we're praying one for another, striving together in prayer. Pray for their family. I'm just telling you, all kinds of attacks seem to come to people who are trying to do the right thing. And I know you're here on Sunday night, and you're probably catching some flack from the enemy too, off and on, mostly on. That's just the way it is. So pray for the family. Pray for his study. Pray that God would keep him fresh. Pray that God would just quicken his heart, would just refresh his heart. And if he wants to go off on a spiritual retreat or something like that, then praise the Lord, fill up the gas tank, give him a credit card, and send him off. And let him go and just get filled up. Get in those kind of atmospheres. It's so important. Pray for his fruitfulness. His fruitfulness. Pray for his wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I mean, do you understand? You understand what pastors are dealing with now? Men that don't know what bathroom to go to? People who don't know what gender they are? I had a pastor call me the other day. He said, I had a transgender come to my church. What am I supposed to do? Preach the gospel to him. Amen. Just preach the... Yeah, this is what we're talking about. I got a pastor friend. He's been there, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years. Church is really growing. But before he came, they had a Christian school. And the principal of the Christian school was a pervert. And he molested one of the boys. Well, this came out. This was before this man even showed up. So the graduates of the Christian school who were unconverted rallied together and is using this opportunity to picket, protest, and show up at services, ridicule, harass the pastor. They've gone to the television stations, the newspaper. The pastor that's there now was not even the pastor when all of this happened. I'm just telling you, it's a time to come to the aid of people, because we're living in a time where if you're doing right, somebody ain't going to like it. I can tell you that right now. And boy, the haters are legion. I'm telling you, they are legion. And you know what? When we become a threat to the kingdom of darkness, I believe that there will be repercussions. But we need to minister. Pray for the pastors. How do you handle this? I mean, nobody gives you a course on how to handle this kind of stuff. You know, they just don't. Pray for his trials. He's going to have trials. Yeah. Some of y'all are on the back of 42, like me. And how many know that things change the older you get? A lot of things change. Amen. Yeah. And you know what? There's some trials in this, man. And then you're facing all kinds of stuff. And it's uncharted territory. You've never been on that road before. Pray for his trials. And pray for his strength. Now, the best way we can minister to our minister is by being a real Christian. Amen. You know what it says here in Philippians 2? Fulfill my joy that you be like-minded. He said, Paul said, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Listen to this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, and fulfill my joy. Now listen to this. How do you mean? A humble mindset. A humble mindset. Behave like Christ. And here's what Romans 1 says, for I long to see you. Here's what Paul said to the Romans. I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Do you know your faith encourages your pastor? Your faith encourages your pastor. I'm telling you, anybody's got faith is an encouragement. Instead of rehearsing all the possible negative outcomes, how about somebody just have a little faith? Instead of rehearsing everything that could go wrong, why don't we start believing God for something to go right? And I'm just telling you, when you have a faith mindset, when you have a humble, meek mindset, I'm just telling you, you encourage people all the time. Now, be practical in your encouragements. Now, I'm glad that Pastor Dan and Sherry is not even here tonight. Because I just want to talk to you from my heart for just a second. Be practical in your encouragement. Tell them you appreciate them. Be a Monday morning encourager. If the sermon was halfway, send them a text. Send them a note. Cook them some pulled pork, Brother Randy. Amen. This man right here, I'm telling you. What an example. This man right here is a real example. He fixed me some pulled pork is what I'm trying to say. So, just be practical in your encouragement. Tell your pastor's wife how you appreciate her. Text them. Yeah. Text him. Text her. Compliment him. Send a thank you note. Send a gift. Just an unexpected gift. You know, be kind. Just be kind. Just express appreciation and pray and give thanks for your pastors. So, pastors need peace, privacy, provision, and they need prayers. And we can minister to our ministers by doing these very things right here. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to strategize on practical encouragement that you can have, not just a one-time shot, but maybe an ongoing ministry to your minister. Over at our church, I think y'all do this all the time. We just started this out of this revival we had in our church. We just started meeting and praying over the pastor every Sunday morning. I'm pretty sure y'all do that. But that's we're praying with him. We're praying for him. And just doing these practical things to minister to these guys. I'm just telling you, if God hadn't called them to do it, they could do something else that'd probably be easier and be more lucrative. That's the truth. But wait a minute, God called them and they ain't complaining. But we ought to be doing all we can to build them up and to treat them right and to have a ministry, an intentional ministry to the minister. Seeking to be a blessing to them and help them. Now we just sent our pastor to Hawaii. Yeah, he's got 5 children. Thank God it wasn't Maui last week. But we just sent him on over there and had a big time. And some people, you know, kind of gave him a little something. Hey, here's something for the children right here. Did you know you really strike a home run when you minister to somebody's children? You know what I'm saying? And that's just something that our church decided to do. And you know, God will lead different congregations and different people to do different things, but all of us can do something to have a ministry to the minister. So I want us to stand to our feet, and I want us to spend a little time right now thanking God for our minister and his wife. How about that? Just a little time here, sentence prayers, praying out loud, thanking God for pastor and his wife. That'd be all right? Let's do that. Let you just talk to the Lord. Let's just have a little season of Thanksgiving, gratitude therapy going on here, thanking God. Father, thank you for the people who have ministered to us and for the minister that you have here and his dear wife. Lord, we're just going to say thank you for a few minutes right here. Lord, lead us as we pray right now. Somebody just lead us in prayer, expressing gratitude and thanksgiving to God.
Father, just help us to be Christ-like. Help us to do the things that Jesus did when he walked the earth. And with the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, the love, Lord, we should be giving these things in the past. And just help us to go the extra mile for him as he does well.
Lord, I just want to thank you for a pastor that stands on your word without compromise, Lord, and preaches the truth, Lord, in a way that, for me, that I can comprehend and understand, Lord. Just thank you for what he's done for me personally in my life, Lord. I have no doubt I wouldn't be where I'm at today without Pastor Ben Sherry, and I am so thankful for that. And just thank you for Sherry, Lord, and she's a humble person.
Yes, Lord, bless.
She's does a lot of things behind the scenes and takes care of her pastor. And Lord, I just pray that she needs encouragement. Lord, I know that as her son-in-law, she needs encouragement. So we just pray that for her, along with Pastor Boone, but Lord, they're a team and it's an effort with both of them. And I just pray that you would help us all as a congregation to stand around them, Lord, and to be more understanding and to be faithful, Lord. Pastor Boone says this all the time. Lord, make him happier than anything, Lord, to see a congregation that's on fire for you. That would encourage him above all things, to see, as Harold put it, Christians being Christians, Lord. That's what we ought to be doing. So help us with that. Thank you for them. We love them dearly. And Lord, just pray that you give them what they need in the days to come to continue, Lord, to continue to minister to us, to preach to us, Lord, and we're going to thank you for what you're going to do in the days to
Just a moment of silent prayer. I want you just to thank the Lord from your heart for your church family, your pastor and his wife. That's what we've talked about tonight, the ministers. But Lord, even thanking God for one another. Let's just spend a little time right now in silent prayer, just talking out, crying out to God, thanking him for the friends, the family, the fellowship, all the blessed camaraderie that we have. Let's just spend a moment or so thanking God for the family of God in Valley View Baptist Church. Just let's spend a little time like that.